Das neue Samsung Galaxy Z Fold 7 ist da. Faltbares Design, ultra dünn und vollgepackt mit Fotopower. Mit der 200-Megapixel-Kamera hältst du jeden Moment gestochen scharf fest, ob unterwegs mit Freunden oder auf dem Konzert deiner Lieblingsband. Bearbeite deine Fotos anschließend einfach auf dem 8-Zoll großen Display mit Galaxy AI. Easy und on the go. Entdecke das neue Galaxy Z Fold 7 und erfahre mehr auf samsung.de.
Oh yeah. Hello. Welcome to Meltdown Comics, the Nerd Melt Theater in the epicenter of Hollywood, California. Harmontown is now in session. Buckle up, motherfuckers. Welcome to the stage. The mayor of Harmontown, Dan Harmon!
Fuck your mama, fuck your daddy in the mouth. I fucked your daddy from the north to the south. Predictable rhymes, I don't care, I'm still rapping. Rapping like I was a butt, that's crapping. Crapping in the toilet that is your ears. Dominating your desires and fears. Freestyle rapping like I've never done before. Fuck your mama on the ceiling, fuck your mama on the floor. I'm rapping. Freestyle rapping. Sounds like it's written, but I'm freestyle rapping. Didn't think about it in the green room at all. Now I'm gonna fuck your mama in the summer and fall. Fuck your mama, fuck your daddy on the street. Fuck your mama in her mouth, fuck your daddy on his feet. Come on his toes, put on his shoes. Take him downtown and show him the blues. Teach him how to roll with the blacks. Teach him how to feel his slacks. Take him shopping, take him chopping. Lumberjacks. Rapping. Yeah. Fucking intense. I don't know if you've ever spit fire before, but it comes through you. Like, the term spit implies that it starts inside you. It's not true. It comes through the back of your head. Goes back to mythology. There's the Band-Aid on the back of Marcellus Wallace's neck in Pulp Fiction, and in the Coen Brothers movie. That's an old something Jewish about the thing on the back of the neck.
Now, do you feel that was a one-time thing for tonight, or do you feel that's going to stay true throughout the entire show tonight?
I'm on fire tonight. God is above me, right above me, high noon. Like it's a harmonic convergence. I felt it when I was walking through. They were playing some, what do you call that? R&B? Hip-hop?
Yes.
Hip-hop. I just felt like, let's not talk about it. It was phenomenal.
What you don't want to do is look at it and try to capture that same lightning bug in the same jar.
No. My biggest challenge when I'm freestyle rapping is when I hear, like you do, it's too good. It sounds written. You heard me address it in the thing. I was panicking. I was like, oh shit, they're going to think this is written. I'm not Eminem.
Dan,
I didn't write it.
Dan, was that?
I don't have it. I'm like him, except fuck your hand. Fuck your marker on your hand.
Was that your guilty conscience saying it sounds written because I did prepare something?
No.
I'm Shakespeare writing.
Sounds written because it's fucking God is writing it.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, guys, I'm sorry. It's like how a magician stops halfway through and he goes, I'm sorry, I have to remind you again, nothing up my sleeve. Because of this rabbits are just flying out of hats.
Now,
anyways.
What I'm not going to do, Dan, and I'm saying I'm not going to do this because I don't want to ruin the experiment. I could play that same beat again, and I think you're in such a zone that you could even go further than that. I'm not going to. We're going to save it for later. At any point, though, I feel like you need to be in that free fall state.
I tell you what, tonight, little favor to you.
Okay.
Catch me off guard.
All right.
Sneak up on me. Be like Kato in Pink Panther. Okay. Whatever, am I mixing my references?
You're close enough.
All right. The guy that Clouseau pays to keep him on his toes. Yeah, attack me. Come up behind me. Try and catch me. You can't.
Because you opened up with a real normal pitfall of saying in the mouth, and then it has to be...
Exactly, because it's just like vroom, vroom, vroom in the parking lot. Okay, let's not talk. We're pornifying it.
Pornographizing
it. All right, we got a lot of stuff to do. Here's my my new segment. It's called Controversial Thoughts. No. Okay. All right.
No. That was not the time for it. But I like that you're on your toes.
All right.
Because you're fucking nimble as a mountain goat tonight. What's going on?
You know how cockroaches? You probably don't know this. I provide knowledge. I drop it. I drop science. I spit fire. I provide knowledge.
Do you ever spit knowledge?
Sometimes on accident. The cockroach has a photoreceptor in its legs. It's running before it knows why. When you turn on the lights, the cockroaches start running. Its brain has yet to say, oh shit, I'm a cockroach. Its legs are going, you have to run, there's light.
We're a cockroach.
When I hear that beat, Jeff,
yeah,
I start moving and rapping. Because the street part of me has its own tiny urban brain. I'm not saying urban people have a tiny brain.
Or that they're cockroaches.
Oh, boy. Well, like cockroaches, we, the urban people, will never die. I speak on behalf of us.
What is it about you that makes you so urban, Dan?
Because I'm from the streets. So that's the only thing that you need. I'm 52nd and Calumet, bitch. Milwaukee, look it up. 53526, I think that was my area code. Look it up, you'll see. There's a street there. All right, controversial thoughts. Yo. Okay.
Clearly, you weren't ready for that one.
No, I was. All right. Here's the thing. I saw Monuments Men, and I don't know anything about this aspect of history, but it seemed to me like Hitler was really into art, just like America and Europe and everybody. It seemed like poor people just kill each other in wars, and rich people just care about paintings. So I wasn't that moved by George Clooney's story about fat old men going into war to protect paintings from Hitler, who was intent on building a giant Hitler museum to store all the paintings. Controversial thoughts. Okay. I mean, Erin and I got in a fight about it. She's an artist. She's a visual artist.
Wait, what was the fight about? what side were you on and what side was she on?
Well, because I was on, because I don't
who,
know.
Who was, and who was on Hitler's side?
Me. Kind of. No, that's not true. That's not true at all. She kept accusing me of being on Hitler's side. The irony was, I'm not on Hitler's side. I'm not on artist's side. I'm not on art side. Because I kept going like, seems like art's kind of a... So, you know, we keep talking about art, how important it is. Everyone agrees art and support is important. There's a scene in the movie where they're looking for all this art. We got to protect the art. And then they find a bunch of gold. And then, like, Eisenhower comes down. He's taking his picture with all the gold. And, like, two of the characters go, you know, they give a fuck about gold, but they don't give a fuck about art. It's like, what's the fucking difference? There's just less art. It's like the gold is like stacks of shit that everyone agreed was valuable. That's all art is. And I was just like saying, Erin burst into tears in part of it, not because she thought the movie was good, but because she thought the movie was profaning something that she cared a lot about. She was explaining, by the way, we're both drunk. She's explaining on the way home, it's like Hitler, like he wanted to destroy all the art that he didn't think was good, and that was terrible. And there's a scene where they blowtorch a bunch of art, and I was like, well, that was scorched earth, though. Hitler did a Nero doctrine where he said, if I fall or if Germany falls, start destroying everything. So then the art was in trouble. So I was just like driving home with Erin and going, I feel like all the rich people in the movie all agree that art is valuable, and all the poor people are just off camera getting shot and blown up. And all of them were like, fuck art. Like, there's a bullet in my brain. And that's the side I was on. But she twisted that into me being pro-Hitler. Because I was like, he wanted to make a museum.
He didn't want to make a museum.
He wanted to make a very big Hitler museum. That is not debatable.
But he declared lots of art degenerate art, but also there was just also it was open season. If like Himmler or whoever said, I'm really into such and such an artist, that was for you. Like whether or not that was degenerate or not, it was just basically let's just go pilfer and loot all of Europe.
They stole all the art,
but they weren't going to open it.
They weren't
museum.
Burning it.
They were all going to go keep it and hoard it because it was you could equate that to
worth
gold.
Money,
worth gold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's different from the Vatican how?
Wow, you made a leap there, man.
That's different from the Louvre how? That's different from why are all hoard art? We hang it on the wall, we look at it. It's fucking great. It's so valuable. We all agree it's valuable. Wow, look at this precious thing. It was one of a kind. Oh, gold is valuable because it's a rare element.
Yeah, I mean,
aluminum's less valuable.
I would say gold is more arbitrary as a value of worth just because it doesn't decay or oxidize or whatever. Like art you could at least agree on that has beauty, has like intrinsic value to whomever. But I don't think that's what they were doing. I think there was just a bunch of asshole German guys going around there and stealing shit that they wanted to belong to them.
I don't
right?
think those guys had good taste. And I think the first person that'll tell you that is an artist, someone in art school. They can't wait to tell you what a mediocre artist Hitler was. You know why? Because otherwise, Hitler's just an artist. Yeah. Well, everyone's going to tell you what a bad artist Hitler was, because otherwise you get to go, yeah, you artists, you know, you live in boxes and you eat poop for a living, but give you a little bit of power, and oh boy.
Yeah. Wait, I have.
They gotta go, Hitler doesn't count! Hitler doesn't count! He's really bad at perspective.
I haven't seen
he was an artist!
I haven't seen the movie, but like there are like, you see films of like the German museums, like during the Reich, and they you know, like cleansed Europe, or at least Germany, of all the degenerate art. And so there's all these like galleries full of like Germanic, like just a bunch of like big macho statues, and there's no emotion to it. It's just really stark and intimidating. Meanwhile, the Nazis that had taste were scooping up all the Botticellis and all the really good shit, and they were all just taking it. And like we know that Hitler's not down for this, but we want a fucking gigantic basement full of the stuff that we know that will always have value, right?
Yes.
So, okay, look. I don't. I probably won't see the movie. Is there a way to tell me what happens without spoiling? Or is that the
Hitler
whole
Hitler loses all his art. He loses all the art.
He loses
and
all
we
art.
Get it all back. Yeah. Do
we get it all back, or does some? Like, or is there? Is
no,
there,
no. There's a.
Is there a bittersweet coda? Like, oh, but we'll never know what we didn't get. Back.
There's points where they're holding up like burnt frames, and it says Picasso on the bottom. It's like we lost a fucking Picasso.
Yeah, but also we lost a bunch of people, and also like you know like we. Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, Clooney came on Colbert and they showed a clip of him and Matt Damon talking about how old they were and they're going to go save art paintings. It didn't seem like a good movie.
It's, yeah, it's not, it's the concept of whether or not a painting is worth more than human life, I think is a very important one, and I think that you need to, it needs to be cinematically.
Siskel and Ebert weighed movies on thumbs and some people weighed on stars. I feel a more accurate way to measure a movie's value is through freestyle rapping.
Yo, Monuments Men. Yo, see it again. Yo, see it at the IMAX or down the street. Fuck your daddy on his feet. Go to Monuments Men by George Clooney. I fucked your mom like my name was Hal Rooney. Mickey Rooney, I meant. Say again. Go to see Monuments on Friday. Fucked your mama on her eye. It was eye day. I put in my inner socket.
Okay, look.
It was about to rhyme with rocket. I was going to go places. All right, new segment. Next segment.
Okay. Do you want a different beat or do you want to stick with that?
I'm not in control. You. My new segment is called Ruin It For Me. Yo, ruin it for me. I'm happy about something, see? You're gonna come up and ruin it for me. Okay, so...
That was good.
For real, don't base this on... We can do a segment later called I Want to Be on Stage. And we will not punish you for wanting to be on stage. But for real, Like, if you really think you can ruin this for me because you've been thinking about it more than I have, because I saw one paragraph on the internet and I get excited and then I retweet it and then I feel like my job is done and I live in a better world. The gay NFL guy. Yeah. The guy that we have our first openly gay NFL guy. That's all I know. That's it. I know one tweet's worth of information. It's very uplifting to me. I would imagine it's very hard to be an openly gay NFL draft pick or whatever the hell he is.
Sounds like our first gay sports corner. Gay sports corner. Gay sports corner.
I mean, I want a yes and you, but that's really a derailment. Like, because the segment is, I'm happy about this current event that I know one tweet's worth of information about. What I want is for somebody, because I go to bed and I go, you know, the world's getting better. Gay rights, that takes a huge leap forward. Somebody that's in a position to be nothing but punished for it comes out and says, hey, I'm gay, which really is more symbolic of like the fact that, you know what, your neighbor's probably gay. Like, there's people who aren't admitting it, and like it's not weird to be gay, and I can throw a football or I can catch it or whatever the hell he does in that dumbass sport. I'll become open-minded about that shit when I die. Because those guys called me fags for a long time. So that's it, right? I go to bed, I sleep like a baby. But there's got to be somebody in the room, right, who can tell me, because this is how it always works. Like, you mention it at a cocktail party, and then someone goes, yeah, but you know that guy's a pedophile. Or that guy wasn't going to be – he was the number 3 draft pick, and he came out because it actually boosted him to number 1. Or so is there anybody here that has – like mitigating information to like dilute this rainbow of joy.
He has a room full of Hitler's art. I will say this, Dan. A guy, believe me, I don't know much about it either. But there was a guy. He's going into the draft, right? Yeah. He's a college player going into the NFL draft. And before he got drafted, he said, also, I'm a homosexual, which might make him less marketable because coaches are weird about putting distractions, as they call it, in their locker room. That could be some guy's two in the news or two of this or that, and I don't want to fuck up my locker room with this or that. On ESPN News, there were people who are coaches, who are pundits, who come out and talk about all sorts of issues. They all, like, they were asked, like, would that be distracting for you? You were a coach once, or you were a player once. And a lot of people came out, and they really didn't want to like say, because there's certainly no market in saying, yeah, I wouldn't want to be in a room with that guy. They don't say that. What they do say, well, you know, I do see the side of the locker room. You know, locker rooms, there's lots of different kinds of people in there and different whatever. And, you know, it can be a distraction. I mean, like, oh, like yeah, you're like, you basically just said that would be a problem for you.
Right.
And also other people have said, like, so somebody was asked, like, some player was asked, how many, like, what percentage of NFL players currently do you think are gay? And he goes, I don't know, anywhere between 5% and 80%. Like, it's not zero.
Well, that's where this don't ask, don't tell thing, we went through this with the military, blah, blah. I think a gay activist, a man would say that was into this, would go, you know what? It's a fucking distraction for the parking meter attendant that I'm gay. On some level, like, there's not equality yet. Like, somehow, even though I don't have to tell you where I put my dick when I look for pleasure, somehow it's a straight-run society, and it's blowing back on me, and like, and I'm somehow like, because straight people can run around high-fiving each other for being straight. You can put up billboards that have innuendo like, "Hey, come get a bagel." It's kind of like fucking a pussy, right? and it's on some level like Starburst commercials, and it's a straight man's world, and so there's like a certain amount of like if you come out of the closet,
oh yeah,
and you're in a political position. You know, it's a risky proposition.
Like people, like Kobe got in trouble for calling somebody faggot. But that's something you just like certain people just say when they get angry. Like, I don't know that was necessarily homophobic, but it's something that certain people just say. And people drop N-bombs on each other. It doesn't necessarily mean they're saying that. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But I would imagine that any sports locker room, when you have a bunch of people who aren't necessarily like across the board, like PhDs, and they're trained to be really good at one like athletic endeavor, there's going to be lots of like visceral bullshit, and They're going to tease you about anything that you're different at. Let's say you read a lot.
But using that as a reason to like not draft people, then we have a problem because we have systemic. That's the thing.
And the thing is,
because if this guy made it to the college level being into football and being gay.
Well, the beauty of him, like the reason why it's good for him is because he's like, I think he's like a graduate of some good school or something like that. Like he's got his shit together and he's, you know, like he's not just some any old knucklehead. Like, would you actually have to be a representative? I think it's smart because what you don't want to do, which I think a lot of people, the reason why they can't come out if you're in a soccer locker room or a football or baseball locker room and you've been playing with these people for 8 years and you've been in the shower with them for 8 years and you go, oh, by the way, the whole time that we've been doing dick jokes and doing all this like grab assing and all this weird male shit that we all do, I've always been gay the whole time. Then you open yourself up to a whole other thing. He's saying, before you draft me, if this ruins my career, I want everyone to know before I go in, I'm gay. Now, currently, my favorite fucking thing in the world is, and I forget his name, but I love the Winter Olympics, and the cat that's gay that calls the figure skating, what's his name? Reed?
John Weir.
Johnny Weir?
Yeah,
John Weir. And he, in Vladimir Putin's Russia, who has made it very clear that it's not cool to be gay there, although he never has a shirt on, and is constantly straddling some sort of beast. Johnny Weir comes out dressed like the fucking like the Easter parade every time, and he's just like hello, and he's dressed like Peter Pan, and it's good, and he's got like he has the best makeup on, and he couldn't. There's no way to be gayer than Johnny Weir is right now in Russia, and he's basically saying, "Come arrest me on fucking camera," and that's great because the sport has to be full of gay people, like it has to be full of everything, and I love the fact that Russia was homophobic or is. Well, you know, but they're gonna. So is America. So is probably every like government like across the board in some ways. But Russia came out and said, "Don't propagandize about your homosexuality." John Weir's just presence in Russia is propaganda, which is awesome.
Don't propagandize homosexuality because the we're all just a tick away from going homo if we see the right poster.
Well, I mean, they made it really ambiguous, like no gay propaganda. Well, what does that mean exactly?
Yeah, don't be gay and be happy.
And they go, well, just keep
don't,
it away.
Don't jump around being gay. Well,
did they say like
with
keep,
a smile
keep
on your
it
face.
Away from the kids? Yeah. Well, so if I walk by a child, they left it pretty fucking loose.
All right. Well, so I'm leaving it at that. I'm not going to stretch this out. Let's say there's 150 people in this room. I said ruin it for me. It doesn't sound like this guy sounds like he made getting drafted a little more difficult in the 11th hour by doing this amazing thing.
He certainly
thing
did
out.
Because there might be some coaches who say I don't want that quote unquote distraction.
Because why bother? Yeah. And you could fall back on I'm not homophobic, but it's a distraction. So he had that horrible empire of mediocrity working against him, worse than having like active aggression working against him. He had actual just status quo stagnation working against him, just gravity.
Let's say you're a coach of the Patriots. Let's say, oh, I'll make up a team like the Flim Flammers, and you have a quarterback that is worth all the money in the league. And you as a coach happen to know that this guy's a rampant homosexual.
Rampant?
So, well, yeah. Rampant. He as soon as the lights go down, he's just gay bashing.
Is he a rampant homophobe or a rampant homosexual?
I'm sorry, did I say that? I meant homophobe.
Oh, rampant homophobe. Yes. Okay. That's why it was rampant homosexual.
I'm sorry, I misspoke. Okay. I said rampant and went in a whole different direction. Right. But let's say like you as a coach know that a certain percentage of your team are homophobic and they're worth a zillion dollars. Like, do you want to bring a linebacker in who causes distress?
Capitalism, mediocrity, path of least resistance, people doing what they do, wanting today to be as easy as yesterday. Those are the things that heroes rise up against. It's not when it's fashionable, not when you can goad people to throw lettuce at you and somehow garner that into like a martyr story, which is what I often do in my own little world. You know, like somebody that rises up and goes like, you know what, I could have fucking just hung out forever with this toupee on, but I'm bald, motherfucker. I got it. My scalp itches. And actually, it wasn't even about selfishness. Like you said, there's a courtesy to that, to go like, you know what, so that 7 years later when we got our Super Bowl rings, like you I want you to have gotten it with with a gay guy in the locker room. I don't want you to. I don't want this to be a story that somehow brings us back down into the gutter about showers and all this shit. Anyways, let's enough of that. But my point wasn't so much about, you know, we're in LA, we can love gay people all we want. But my point was more like, in this age, like, you hear these heroic things and, like, you know, there's a spin on them, and then so often, like, you read one more paragraph down or you click on one comment in the comment section, it just starts to fall apart because of relativity and all this stuff. But it sounds like a pure hero story.
Were you hoping that, somebody did mitigate that? Or that
no, I'm glad nobody did. No wrong answers. If somebody came up and ruined it, that's good too. I wouldn't. I like that's interesting as well.
I like that.
That would show us that there's no such thing as like fucking heroes. Like when Julian Assange like gets tangled up in some weird sexual stuff. It's like, or Martin Luther King, like the first thing they go after is his crotch. You know, like he's because he's causing trouble. I just like maybe what we need to learn is that we're not supposed to be looking for these non-human people. It just so happens that this guy sounds like inhumanly awesome. All right, enough of that. Whatever his name is, and he plays a dumb sport, so he's a fucking idiot. And that is a prejudice I will go to my grave with.
And that segment is called burying the lead.
That's why I'm especially inspired by it, because it means that people can do heroic things even when they're so not bright that they play football for their whole lives. I think that's inspiring, that lizard people can also be heroic.
Lizard people.
I'm kidding. I'm sure there's great football players out there. Come on the show. We'll talk to you. We'll have a special microphone that picks up on whatever wavelengths you speak in. It won't block the pathway through your mouth so you can breathe. I'm kidding.
How good do you think you would be as an... If you're not the world's greatest interviewer, how good do you think you would be with a famous, highly educated, black, gay NFL draftee?
I don't know. That sounds kind of awesome. Is this guy black, by the way?
Yes.
Oh, fuck, he's awesome! I just automatically pictured, like, this
why is it better
honky, corn-fed, kind of, like, Woody Harrelson guy.
Why is that better that he's black?
Because black people are even more awesome than gay people. Like, I don't know. That's amazing. Because he's got even less reason as a black man to come out of the closet. That's fucking... Are you kidding me? Like, there's a horribly entrenched homophobic culture among that's accepted because we don't have to explain this. The show will be 2 hours long. It will be, but we're going to talk about other stuff. No, it's just what? My white guilt and my straight guilt make this guy being gay and black fucking amazing. I'm almost willing to forgive him for playing football. I would love to talk to him about. I mean, how do you?
So now that he's black, you want him on the show? He's not a lizard man anymore. Now that he's black.
No, I would have wanted to talk to him no matter what his race was, and that's on the record. No, but come on. Except for fuck you. I'm not apologetic about my glee about wanting like people who have reasons to be afraid being like not afraid. I think that's fucking amazing. anyways, let's speaking of being afraid and being activated and all kinds of stuff, I want to move forward. We got a guest tonight that I mentioned last week because I felt like last week I complained about Uber. I complained about I don't know how hard it is for me to scratch my ass and jerk off into a laptop. The theme last week was kind of like It was first world problems, to be sure.
Right.
And I'm not ashamed of that. I'm in the first world. I have problems. That's I'm not gonna. But I also like kind of came to this epiphany during that, as I have often. Like, yeah, but I'm 41. I don't give a shit. Like, I got to start figuring out what's going on with the world. But I don't believe in politics. I don't buy into the liberal versus conservative shit. I think that the fucking government is an asshole and people who aren't systems aren't assholes. And so the thing that really appeals to me at a blush that I know nothing about is this concept of net neutrality. And I happen to know through Aaron this net neutrality activist. Oh, sweet. And his name is Eddie Geller, and he's here. Sit anywhere you like.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
It's my favorite part of the show. I get to sit down.
Perfect.
All right, so I purposely didn't research because that's my passion, is for doing nothing. Like, I know for sure that the words net neutrality mean that the internet is a perfect place where everybody can do whatever the hell they want, and that must mean that there's some FCC types coming gunning for us that are trying to make sure that there's some kind of law going down the road that's going to protect the interests of corporations and things, and ultimately marginalize the poor. You take it from there.
Yes, you pretty much nailed it. So net neutrality is essentially the default way that we think about the internet, that you're free to go anywhere and go to any sites, and anyone who starts a website can get to you. It's this free flow of information. And so the reason net neutrality has been in the news is because the government agency that oversees this, the FCC, had these net neutrality rules that they made in 2010. They said, all right, if you are Comcast or you're Time Warner, you can't fuck with people's internet. You have to let them go where they want. And those rules just got tossed out in the D.C. Circuit Court. So now it's like they're in the when the internet first started, we kind of had some net neutrality rules, and then those got deregulated, and we were in this Wild West for a little bit, and then these new net neutrality rules, and I apologize that this is goes a little in the weeds, but these newer net neutrality rules, which were kind of a half measure, got thrown out. So we're back in the Wild West.
So right now it's an open table.
It's essentially anything could happen, but these...
In Deadwood, you've got your Hearst moving into town. He's there. He's got his resources. But
right.
You've also got your swear engines and your other people. Like,
right.
like whoever shoots who first.
Exactly. Well, and the other thing that happened this week is Comcast is attempting to buy Time Warner Cable. So Comcast is the biggest provider of internet and TV, trying to buy the second biggest provider. And so we're talking about a giant mega corporation that has enormous control over everyone's communications.
So everyone, remember when you seem a little younger than me. When I was a lad, that phrase Time Warner didn't exist. There was a time and there was a Warner Brothers.
Right.
And now Comcast is going to merge with Time Warner.
Yeah, that's what they're going to try and do. And so net neutrality activists, you know, such as myself, you know, we see this is a terrible thing. You know, we don't need less companies in control of our communications.
So when we talk about being in control, because I went to Europe recently, and I was in a hotel room, and there was like a way for me to get I could get free internet. It was free Wi-Fi that seemed to be somehow in the ether, almost like a kind of ether internet. I didn't have to give a credit card number. I could get on the internet I think I had to put my email address in or something like that. But it was certainly, and I don't know how I found this out, but the porn was definitely blocked. Like it was sort of like a Disneyfied like kind of internet. Is that the world that was like when we talk about companies like Comcast and Warner Cable, because they offer cable internet, is the idea that they're going to offer, they think that they see a world where internet is like cable.
Yes.
And that they can offer these sort of packages.
Right. And this, you know, that they can make their content go faster and run better for you at home. And then other people, you know, smaller websites or other people making content are going to, you know, have a second-class internet.
So you go to the president's website who's telling you, hey, I'm the president. I had an Easter egg roll and a car wash and I love guns or I hate guns. And in either case, like, fucking pay attention to me. And it's like, whoosh, comes through you at maximum bandwidth. And then you go to a GeoCities page where someone's like, fuck the president, fuck the government. All governments align. It's like, you can't read the first three words. It's slowly loading.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And then actually something like that actually happened in Canada where this telecom had its union was striking against them, and so the telecom blocked the website to the union. So it's, you know, it's like we see these little things that are fucked up, and it's not all going to happen tomorrow. It's like tomorrow the internet is not going to all be this like dire situation, but these are the things they're capable of doing.
But we might as well be talking about telegraph neutrality or telephonic neutrality, which are a lot, as you said, the FCC is involved. The FCC shouldn't even fucking exist anymore, because the insane thing is that the reason they existed, this is me going back to my freshman year communications class, but what I understand about the FCC is that the reason they exist is because there was this thing called radio, and we just invented it, and we thought that it was like a big pie, And each slice was a frequency, and you could we need the government's help so that everyone can have radio. Everyone gets a slice, and we got to make sure that nobody gets too big a slice or that there's not enough slices. Blah blah blah. Cut to these people telling you that that Janet Jackson's titty is offensive during the Super Bowl. It makes no sense. It has nothing to do with anything because far since the FCC was established, we found out that there's no such thing as limitations on frequency. It doesn't matter. But the thing about government is that, God bless them, they're only trying to help, probably usually, but they never fucking go away. Once they're around, they never go away. And I'm not being a libertarian by saying that. I'm just being a human being and saying, once you invite these guys into your life and they start telling you, like no one's ever going to have a meeting where they go, so that's it, FCC's finished, huh? All in favor? No more FCC? It never happens. So they're still around, and it doesn't. Like, why are they still around?
Well, no, and I think like stuff like the Janet Jackson nipple thing is ridiculous. But there is also a school of thought which I subscribe to, which is like, in an ideal world, we want someone like the FCC, to say that these, Comcast of the world cannot.
Right, you made it sound like they were protecting us in an ironic twist.
Yeah. Well, I mean. On the internet, so it's like, the FCC has sort of a wide purview of things they do. And so the hope would be that on the grounds of the internet, that they would tell these, these huge corporations that you cannot fuck with people's access, right? And that, and that's a totally different story than, Janet Jackson's nipple. This is, clearly two different things. But I totally get your point.
Right, right. All right. So let's set up the chessboard right now, and hopefully you can explain it to me, like where the pawns are, where the kings are, et cetera. We've got all of us who don't give a shit about anything,
right,
who would never impinge on anyone's right to do anything. Everyone listening to me, everyone in this room, every human being that was born with a beating heart. We've got all those people. Now we've got those people all like done deal. No one's ever going to fucking vote for anything or do anything unless they're operating on some kind of weird agenda. Now, so now let's bring in the corporations. What is their relationship with the government in all of this?
If the FCC, I'll go back to that for a second. If the FCC actually wanted to do something, wanted to be really good and go back to regulating the internet the way it had been when it first started and really like put the hammer down, then what would happen is these corporations who have enormous lobbying power would actually tell Congress to be like, cut the funding for the FCC, not necessarily destroy it, but, deplete it severely. So, there's so much power and they have so much influence lobbying not only Congress people, but going to the FCC and lobbying the people who work over there. So, it's a gigantic foe. There's no two ways.
Now my brain's a balloon animal because I'm really realizing the extent to which I started babbling about the FCC and how it should go fuck itself. And you're like the biggest fan because it's like the government is like the only recourse of us being like a European nation where it's like they're protecting us somehow.
I know nothing about this. What's the danger that they will actually control certain content based on like if Fox controls Comcast or whatever, that they want to control certain political content or?
Well, there'll be. Go ahead.
The fear is that Comcast would, prioritize their own content and block and slow down content that's not theirs. Were you talking about that or the FCC?
I was going to like an Orwellian kind of like.
Well, imagine,
I'm all in for Orwellian.
Physically, geographically, let's look at it like a map of the city, and let's pretend that the internet is traffic.
Yeah,
like it's the streets, it's the infrastructure.
Okay.
So I think that's why you're saying the FCC needs to be involved because the government needs to be involved in which lights turn green at which time,
right?
And which streets are widened and which are not, and if you privatize the city streets, then the Pinkberry is going to go, okay, where are you going? You're going over to Mom Pop's yogurt shop at rush hour. We got to close that street down anyway. It's like,
exactly.
we're giving privatizing things that everyone uses is never a good idea. I'll go out on a limb here. Be it health, education.
So where do we stand right now? Are we in some sort of crisis right now? Are we in the balance right now?
Well, yeah, it's kind of precarious right now. So the FCC is, is saying actually now that these rules have been thrown out, they're considering what they're going to do next. They say they still care about net neutrality, though the new head of the FCC is a former communications lobbyist, which shouldn't surprise anyone that that's pretty much how our government works. Mm-hmm. But the hope is that, you know, it's, we were talking in the back about how, you know, hopeless this might be. And, you know, that might be true. But, like, you know, activists, you know, people I work with, you know, it's like our only thing. It's like, well, we got to fucking do something. Like, even if it's a petition and we have to, like, you know, go down to right. D.C. and yell at these people, you know.
Well, what were you saying in the green room was, like, because Kumail said, like, man, you guys got to, I mean, this stuff's so important. And then everyone has such a short attention span. You guys got to call it, change it from net neutrality to, like, butt fun or something. And it's like, yeah, but, like the real danger, the real problem is that, like, we're competing with people who work legislatively, bureaucratically. Their joy in life is to hang out, push buttons, yes, no, vote on this, I believe in this system, I'm the thing. The problem is that the beating heart of humanity, the regular person who just wants to hang out and live their life, pursue their happiness, you can convince them to get invested in toppling over a statue of a horrible monster. You can convince them to like sign a petition. You can convince them to stand on their desks and say, "Captain, my captain." We love those moments because we're dramatic people and we love stories. What we don't love is long, hard fucking slogs against the forces of night, because that's called working at a DMV. Like, we don't want to hang out and fucking, oh, from 3 to 6, I guess I got to get on the internet and click this so that we can keep our internet free. There's got to be a way for us to, because, and also it's like we're talking about, like, now they've convinced us that, like, the it's a fight between the government and corporations. Jesus Christ, who the fuck wants either of these guys to win that fight? This the internet was kind of ours. I mean, like, this, right. Like, we have a chance to keep it, take yeah, it, and it, fucking keep it.
Isn't
right?
That Christian Slater supposed to come along and save us from all that? Like,
we got by pumping up the volume. Are you talking about Gleaming the Cube? I don't know which Christian Slater movie.
I mean, I'm saying he's supposed to come along in some fashion.
I have no. Getting into the nitty gritty of who owns the internet, the for a long time the answer has been kind of up in the air, and what we don't want is for that to have an answer ever.
Right.
The way that we kind of didn't want, in the days of Manifest Destiny, it was like, okay, we're gonna make a nation, and then there was a war between the people who wanted one big old country and the people who wanted each state to be independent, and then we get tricked into thinking that we have to choose between one good guy and one bad guy, and it's like, they're all a bunch of fucking politicians.
Right. No, and I actually, I totally agree with your butt fun theory of change. No, and I really...
It's Kumail's butt fun theory
Kumail's,
of change.
It might have been fun butt. I'm not sure. I don't want to defame. But I really think... So in Iceland, there's a politician called Jan Narn. He was a comedian, and he started this joke party called the Best Party. And they promised, like, free towels, and that they would listen to women. and making
free
shit.
Towels.
Yeah, free.
And that's so crazy.
It started off as this joke, and then became like a real thing. And he actually got attention and became the mayor of Iceland. And so that's
it continued to be entertaining.
Right. Exactly.
The way Walking Dead does. The way the way True Detective does. The way like we've got a nation of people who can agree on one thing for sure. You got our devotion if it suits our consumption.
Right.
Devotion without consumption is tyranny.
No, but I think I thank the crowd for being in it for this wonky sort of discussion. But that
no, they like listening; they're into it. Don't worry. And if they're not, fuck them.
But the thing is, I mean, like, I hate to sound thick about this, but I'm not sure what I'm supposed to be afraid of right now—the government or the corporations.
That's why we got to figure something out. We don't have to figure out today.
What am I supposed to be like? Where am I supposed to aim my BB gun? Right.
You should be for net neutrality.
Well, I certainly am, but okay, I don't know what building I'm supposed to go toilet paper right now.
I think if, you know, the corporations, I hate to sound so simplistic, would be the bad guys in this situation. And if you're an average citizen, then you are hopefully telling the FCC, telling your representative that you want net neutrality. And, you know, you're trying to counterbalance.
But you're saying the head of the FCC is a former lobbyist.
He is. But, I mean, you know, if they only hear one side, you know, then we're doubly fucked. And so it's like, yes, the system is totally, you know, going against us, but, like, you know, we we go and we yell at them when we can.
But isn't the internet punk rock enough? Like when they came after Napster, we all used to a long time ago go like get music for free, and then that like peer to peer stuff. And we all used to get whatever we wanted. Then that became illegal. Then gradually we all go, okay, fuck it. iTunes, 99 cents. Then Spotify comes along. There's a way to monetize that, and we pay for that. It always seems like the internet finds a way to make it egalitarian and to make it like freebie and sexy and punk rock. Wouldn't like? Aren't there enough cool like? A revolutionary
but we're talking
hackers.
About the actual structure of the internet.
Yeah, so I'm saying, is there no way to get underneath that and to subvert that, or no?
I mean, there are people who talk about that, but it's not something that one should count on or looks like it would be any sort of viable option.
I mean, actually, it sounds like the only heroes right now that you can actually rely on are the hackers, are the anonymous people, the people who are simply anarchists are simply in favor of subversion. And, of course, you can't rely on them to do anything but corrode, which is like what I want them to do.
If there were ever another revolution, like in the way that we revolted against the English and the way certain countries revolt against empires, the next revolution would have to be an information one. It wouldn't be a country. There would still be countries that revolt against their imperial masters, but the next one would have to be us revolting against a control like that.
I feel like it's going to be lead pipes in the street because of information.
Because when there are riots and you know people go protest against the World Trade Organization or whatever, the first thing they do is they switch off your cell phones and you can't text, and if you do you go to jail, and they will make
and I think they're going to do that here, and I think that I foresee like
the moment they switch off our fucking phones, we will have to revert to lead pipe technology because that's all we will have at our fingertips.
Yeah, but
we won't know how to fucking make a lead pipe because we won't be able to Google how to make lead pipes.
So Google it now.
Print it out.
That's what we're saying.
I want revolution. I mean, I don't want to live in a time where there is revolution because upheaval is a bummer and everybody starves.
For 40-year-olds? Yeah. I don't have the back for it.
It's a big fucking drag. It's nice to live in a country or to live in a world where there has been a revolution in the last century, because we're all the beneficiaries of incredibly
the rebirths,
noble,
the new paintings,
men and women that stood up and fucking did crazy things. The lights will go out for a while, and when they shut the lights out on us now, it's the lights out in a whole different way. Like you and I, Dan, and I don't know how old are you, Eddie?
I'm 30.
Yeah, so like we talked about this before. Like there was a time when lights went out, and it didn't mean that much. You lit a candle, and you didn't have a fucking cell phone anyway. Like now, the moment they start fucking with our ability to communicate with each other on the level that we're used to, people are going to lose their minds.
So there has to be a weird kind of Luddite revolution, because for the people that are the biggest fans of the technology,
it's called steampunk, bro.
We have to start talking to each other now. We have to create a network of Dixie cups and strings to prepare to doomsday prep for the man coming down on us. I mean, I got to tell you, Eddie, like I think you're one of these people that's like you have the practical solution, and you're the one that actually is practical about it. And I feel like just this dumb would-be Han Solo who's decided that he's going to do nothing and that's more convenient, because I feel bad for a genuine, hardworking, erstwhile net neutrality activist who has found themselves in the position of petitioning a fucking corrupt government official in hopes that they'll protect them more than Yoplait.
Yeah, I know. And no, and thank you for that.
But there's got to be a way around this. There's got to be a way we can just flip this whole cop car over. Because we have net neutrality right now, and we should use it in a sign of fucking...
Eddie, who are your sights set on right now? If there's a car, a metaphorical car you could flip over without flipping over an actual car, like what is it?
That's a good question. I haven't thought about it in those terms. I
guess I'd blow up the puppies first. Net neutrality over.
Yeah. I feel like
the wrong guy on.
Tell me what to point my confusion or anger or rage at.
You know, this goes a little outside the bounds, but I mean, you know, we have such a fucked up system of campaign financing that all that, you know, I think everyone who hears this and is in this room, like, knows that, you know, elections are run on money. And I think until, like, thank you very much. And, you know, until we
that guy's wearing a top hat with a monocle.
That's not the only guy that agrees with you. That's just the only guy that thinks that was a right time to clap. Not that that was a wrong time, sir. I'm going to clap him clapping.
Thank you.
Good job.
So, I in the larger scale, like, and that's actually the last place I worked was working on sort of money and politics stuff. I mean, I think that is so unsexy, but I think it's at the core, you know, it's this sort of like first issue. Until we find a way to do, you know, for instance, small dollar funded campaigns or anything like that. And that's not flipping the car over. You know, it's totally not fun, but that is.
No, I mean, that is like the biggest goddamn change that has to happen. And I like dipping your pinky toe into that water, all of a sudden you're tainted with your first things first, buddy, when you come through here. Are you liberal? Or are you conservative? You liberal, conservative? I am against fucking capitalism being involved in civil service. I don't think that there's we yell at Olympians when they take money from Wheaties. Like we want right. them to be non-professional. Like we police when we want to. We figure out ways to keep money out of stuff when it behooves us. We have a whole bunch of people who are willing to jump into the now neutral internet in search of finding ways to keep money from flowing around. There's a lot of easy ways to keep money from flowing around when it comes to the fucking old white dudes that we elect to say yes or no to all this bullshit that is supposed to be, at the end of the day, should be the easiest thing in the world. It's like, what do my constituents want? How does this affect people in Connecticut? Oh, it affects apples? Well, people love apples in Connecticut. Okay, done. Instead of that guy having somehow been some compromised, that's insane. It's insane that that's the presidency is involved in that. It's insane that we only have two candidates from two parties. It's insane that there's two parties. It's insane that we think that that's what government is. It's insane that we're taught that in high schools. It's all from money. It's all a bunch of goddamn fucking bullshit.
I would say, Eddie Stanton, let's bring Kamel out here in case he has something to say with Eddie. Kamel Nanjiani. Hello, Kamel.
Hello, Eddie.
Good to see you again.
Jeff. I wrote on a website that if you say people's names to them, they trust you more. Jeff.
Thanks, Kamel.
See, it works. I like you more.
I know, but if you push it, you become a creepy guy. I know people who do that, Kamel. And here's the thing, here's the thing about that, Kamel. If you do it more than three times in a minute, Kamel, the thing is, like, it starts to take on this.
Yeah, like I called American Airlines for a problem, and they said my name way too many times, and I was like, please stop saying my name. And then they tweeted an apology with my name in it.
You know what I can't dig with the fucking when you're on with AT&T or American Airlines or fucking whatever.
Yeah, they've learned.
They go, this is AT&T. Yeah, I just want to make sure that my I just got my new internet service, whatever. I can actually help you with that. Actually, what was going to happen? They keep saying actually.
Yeah,
it's like stop.
Even they're surprised they can do something. Whoa! This is the first time this has happened.
You know, well, I can actually help you with that. Yeah. Well, fucking la-dee-da.
Yeah, I can actually do something about this.
I can actually make a checkout for you. Yeah. Fucking speed
I
it
can
up.
Literally assist you right now.
That's your job. It is weird because you're like, it's this huge, like, amorphous corporation, and you're talking to like one head of it right then, and they literally have almost no power.
Well, I do that when anyone calls me up. So I just changed over. I finally found out, by the way. This will surprise no one who listens to the show. I didn't realize that I've had DSL forever, and I didn't know. I didn't,
like dick sucking lips? Is it, we all knew. Is it? Jeff.
Well, now that you say his name like that, now I see it. Yeah. I said the way he said it, it sounded like a disease.
I did not assume that I had state-of-the-art internet access, but I
disease?
Found...
Disease?
He said, I didn't know it. I've had DSL this whole time.
Oh, yeah, he did.
I guess I should have known it because my pinky always twitches.
Yeah.
I am talking about sucking dick.
Yeah. But you're...
But
it has nothing to do with sucking dicks. It's just about the quality, like the fullness of the lips. DSL.
Yes.
Yeah.
What is going on?
Go ahead.
People respect your lips. They want them on their dick. It doesn't mean that you... They don't have any opinion about it.
It means when you see my lips, you wish they were on your dick.
Yeah, they're like, those are beautiful, full lips.
They're full lips, and in an abstract way, it would be great if they were around my dick. In an abstract, theoretical way.
Wow.
Jeff.
So I'm on the phone with Aiden. Whenever the telemarketers ever call me up, I use their name back at them, and it fucking bums them out. They don't like it.
Right. It's not
they go, hello, this is Leslie from AT&T. Hello, Leslie. How are you doing today? I go, Leslie, what's going on with you? I just wanted to go, well, come on, Leslie.
Leslie.
Cat got your tongue? Like they don't fucking dig it. So fucking, you can reverse the fucking...
I feel so bad for them anyway.
Now you're just staring at my lips like a weirdo.
It's not so weird.
Isn't there a way...
You can't suck your dick with lips.
Isn't there a way, even though it doesn't...
Are you just getting horrible toothy blowjobs all the time?
No, a blowjob is more than lips.
I know, but that's where it starts.
You've got dick sucking eyes.
Thank you.
Kumail.
Isn't there a way to keep the internet exactly the way it is? It doesn't profit anybody and there's no one that needs to be shot or
isn't
arrested?
It already fucked up? Because every time I shut my computer off, for some reason, like whatever my homepage would be, if it was like a Yahoo, my page, once in a while, every fucking couple weeks, it completely fucks my settings. All of a sudden, I know everything about Miley Cyrus or a certain network. NBC is like certain networks will take over your homepage.
What they'll do is if you're installing a program by like Microsoft or something, they'll change, even though it has nothing to do with your browser, they'll change the default homepage on your website, which is such shit. I don't know how they're allowed to do that. That pisses me off so much. And also, I think it's sad, but it feels like inevitable that net neutrality, it's going to go away, and then we're not even going to remember it, and there's going to be different tiered service. And I was talking, you guys mentioned this, I really think that it needs a sexier name than neutrality. That word inspires no passion. It should be like net freedom, or that's what Howard Kramer was saying. Net freedom would be a great name, or net equality.
Braveheart.
Net Braveheart, a name we can get behind. Six internets in a movie, you know, like a slogan we can get behind.
Well, when I was a kid and the internet was just starting, and we called it the World Wide Web back then, there was a thing called electronic freedom. That sounded too
great.
Cyberpunk for...
But
made you sound too nerdy.
Neutrality. It's obviously something to hold on to, but it just doesn't... I think people see that word and they don't get excited about it.
No, I don't disagree. And there have been, you know, numerous discussions by people much smarter and more powerful than I am who want to change it, and it's like you just keep defaulting back to it because it's like, oh, I guess it kind of...
Because they feel neutral about it.
I know. It's not
it's
very.
It's a very
passionate.
Important issue, right? And I feel like not that many people are engaged.
If only Adam Goldberg were here to think of a funny name or a better, more pungent name for net neutrality.
If only.
I'm shocked that we didn't. I wanted to congratulate him. I haven't heard a peep out of him. We're talking about the internet and opinions, and he. And I haven't heard a sound from the Goldberg section. Yeah. We were talking about like Bigfoot last week.
Well, maybe we've achieved Goldberg neutrality.
Maybe maybe he brought a date. Maybe he's here on a date. He's trying to impress her.
Or him, because he's surrounded by dudes.
Maybe he's NFL quarterback Adam Goldberg. I don't know.
That guy's not in the NFL or a quarterback.
I know. That's my own form of prejudice. I don't know anything about sports. They're all quarterbacks to me. And they're all gay. Now they're all gay.
Along this, I really hate when Ellen Page came out. She also came out a couple days ago.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Ellen Page came out, and so many people on Twitter were like, surprise, surprise. That's not the fucking point.
No, it's not the point.
That's not the point.
The openly part of openly gay is the important point. Gay,
yeah.
If gay was the important point, whoop-de-doo, you might as well congratulate people on being straight.
Yeah.
The openly gay is the important point because of the culture.
It's
it's important and historic that a guy in a notoriously homophobic environment like the NFL comes out and does that before he's even in, like, going through the draft.
Sure.
His career, his livelihood, the thing that he's worked his most of his life toward is jeopardized by him saying that. That's awesome. I don't know what's at stake for an actress.
I think it's going to be harder for her to get popped. I think it's going to get harder.
Yeah, I don't know.
I hope it doesn't.
I hope so, too. I don't know what the actual ramifications might
be. Well, I also don't want to live in a world where she has to sit and think about whether or not she's famous enough or high stakes enough to be – I don't know.
What I was going to say is what's insane is that it merits press conference status now. Like, it's crazy.
Sure does.
We have to come out and all the fucking floodlights have to be on and go, everybody, I am gay, and people like it's a big crisis for everybody. It's insanity.
I said this on Twitter, but I feel like at some point we're gonna live in a world where just saying who you are isn't like a brave political statement, you know?
We'll get there if people stop wearing hair pieces and stop having implants and stop being ashamed of what they are.
I felt like an asshole for watching her. I flipped by her press conference. She was talking about it. I'm like. And I'm not against her or against what she's doing. Like, who gives a shit? Like, why is this a fucking story? It's crazy.
It's a story because it needs to be a story so that it's not a story in the future.
I know, but like, I'm just saying, like, let's fucking grow up as a fucking country or world. Like, fucking, let's get past it. Holy fuck! And that's why I love Johnny Weir for fucking dressing up like an absolute like.
But what also sucks is that he can do it in Russia, but nobody else can.
It'll be
on cameras.
Yeah. It'll be funny the day there's like some thresholds that we cross don't feel like thresholds, like the space program when it's like, okay, we've been exploring space so long that remember in Apollo 13, there's that sad scene where they're like. They're not on TV right now. They think they're on TV, but they're not on TV because you know why? Because we're so fucking good at exploring space that as a species we've succeeded at something.
I just hope we get a female.
There will come a point where there will be some actor. Ladies and gentlemen, daytime Emmy winner Kyle Flanagan. I'm gay.
Boom!
And you hear like one picture. It's like his mom. And then
I always knew you could do it.
There it is. The non-shot heard not around the world for gayness. We are officially equal with gays. It doesn't matter anymore because it's important. Is my point? We shouldn't bully people for being gay. We're not really allowed to because if Tom Cruise came out tomorrow, like. It would be a big fucking deal.
Oh, that would be a big fucking deal.
And he hasn't yet.
For a lot of reasons.
And the fact that he hasn't yet is important. And so
John Travolta?
Since he's not going to yet, if eight people underneath him that equal one Tom Cruise underneath him all come out, that's important.
There's been so much denial for a lot of people and through a lot of culture that now the guy that didn't say 8 years ago when he went into the first locker room with his NFL teammates, now that's weird to do it. Like at some point when you've just denied it for your whole life, it's heroic. People go, look, guess what, everybody, I'm coming clean. Like that's fucking awesome. I just wish that wasn't the top story.
There are also then 10 years after that, after we achieve that fucking high watermark of like it doesn't matter if you're where you put your wiener, there'll be a guy who's like, you know what, I don't know where I want to put my wiener. Put a label on that. Call it asexual. Call it. Still figuring it out. Leave me alone. then that guy will be a hero. As long as there's a status quo, there's going to be people who are heroic for confronting it until we get to the point where we're all actually just honest with each other. Until we're not hiding things from each other, because only then will we be truly different from the animals that we descended from. We are such political mammals. Like we invented it so when we were like these squirrel creatures. And we are shaking that legacy. I feel like it's like we're constantly in a battle with ourselves over whether or not we're going to become insectoid or gods. And I don't know which is worse or which is better, which turns us into gray people with almond eyes that are floating through the cosmos seeking other people's DNA so that they can splash themselves with some genetic Campari, I don't know, but I know that right now it's not a great idea to lobby for Borgness. I get bummed out when people are like offended by everything and like let's all be perfect and Roddenberry. But you gotta high five people who, in the face of all of this chaos, they rise up against the immediate things that make it difficult
For me, the big problem is like whenever I turn the TV on and I'm watching anything, there's commercials for me, and you know, now we get to fast forward to everything. Commercials are broken up between, like, mostly for me, it's insurance commercials or a lot of insurance. Like, it's lots of insurance commercials. But then more and more, it's like, I'm a truck guy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, truck guys. Yeah. Like, fucking stop it with the truck. Yeah. If you call yourself a truck guy, go fuck off.
Wait, what do you, I don't know what that means. You're tired of the culture of identifying?
There's a genre of commercial right now. It's just truck guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what manhood, they're trying to, because it's sort of changing. What being a man is changing. The more, you know, sort of sensitive, less, like, aggressive alpha men are sort of, you know, that's who we're seeing in movies and stuff, too. And so I think that's like a reaction to that. Like, remember the good old days when you had a truck and you'd fuck it every morning? And that was... I think that's what it is. Yeah. Look at my huge dick. It's got so much room.
As a 41-year-old, I will say...
It seems codified, like, fuck those...
Oh, it certainly is. It certainly is.
I will say that's been going on forever. It's 2014. That's been going on since the 70s. Like, men have that... We do that the same way politicians do it to us. Politicians convince us that there's a left and a right so that they can fuck around with us forever because there's only rich and poor. Men say that there's such a thing as feminism and there's such a thing as masculinity so that we can constantly go back and forth between being Alan Alda and then going like, fuck it, I fucking know. It's a guy thing. We've been doing it since the 70s. That's as far back as I can go. I'm assuming we've been doing that since 6000 BC. I don't think we're ever good. Like that's a fucking dodge. That culture. Like, we have like these Belushis that are like out there going like speaking for us and going like, real men don't apologize. I'll fuck a quiche. I'm gonna come on Tim Allen's forehead or whatever. And then we sit around and we go like, oh, fuck those guys. I'm metrosexual. I'm gonna.
You latched on to fuck a quiche. I latched on to coming on Tim Allen's forehead.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that's masculine, but I assume that those guys like I'll come on my forehead. That's all we have left. I don't know. I got off on a tear. I just didn't want to let men off the hook for a second there because it was like the idea that recently there's some kind of like big volcanic eruption of like masculine backlash.
That backlash has been there since forever. I think it's a cyclical thing that we're returning to kind of a caveman-y kind of. Like, it's okay to have Dennis, what's his name? Dennis
Leary.
Leary. Like, be the voiceover. Hey, look at that. The torque's on the truck. The torque is what turns a... Torque, let me break it down for you. It's what makes the beer cap come off your bottle. Like, that's what they're fucking selling a truck to. It's like, ooh, is that what torque is? We're returning to that, the idea that let's get back to the good old days.
When you say returning, you imply movement. We all agree there's no movement happening, right? There's stagnation. That's it.
There's a
tube like projecting fucking images into our living room.
Sure,
going, like,
but we're changing. I think what it means to be a man, I think, is different from 10 years ago, and I think we're sort of a step in the right direction.
To the extent that it's not regulated by like either like corporations or the government, like this internet thing happened, and we all kind of like there's been this burst of like actual culture developing. Like we're kind of like, sure. Oh yeah, I would say that. Bringing it back around to what the hell are we going to do about this? Eddie Geller says,
"What are we going to do?
We should
about
go suck
it?
Off this guy that works at the FCC."
Oh, thank
what
you.
What do we do about it?
Oh, that's not me. Sorry, I got that in my head. I think it's just like, you know, it's tough because it's not like I can.
We also have such short attention spans. Like, I was talking about this. Like, remember a week ago, we all had strong opinions on Woody Allen, and now nobody's talking about it anymore.
Right. No, and that's definitely true, but it's also cyclical. Like, you know, net neutrality was a big thing. Like, it first popped up in 2006. And then,
SOPA
like,
and stuff, right?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, it does pop up again when, you know, the news finds it, you know, interesting enough to cover. And I think, you know, just to be having this conversation, you know, is worthwhile, and that might sound like not enough. But
no, for real, though, that's the important thing. What do you tell the 15-year-old kid who's listening right now, who shouldn't be, by the way? but like, he's listening. He's like, you know what? I'm going to dip my toe into this big world, and I'm going to start. I'm going to become a rebel. I'm going to become an activist. Like, how can you tell this kid? What should he Google? What should he start reading about? Or is she? Sorry.
I'm actually about to start working for an organization called Demand Progress, which was started by Aaron Schwartz, the activist who about a year ago took his life. So That's a great organization that I'll shill for because they are about to hire me.
What was he an activist for?
He was an activist for these same sorts of things. By the way,
the
internet.
It gives me no hope that the guy fighting for this was like, fuck it, I'm going to kill myself.
Well, it's kind of a complicated story, but he had...
That's terrifying.
Well, he was actually... So he was charged with stealing these journalistic articles he was downloading from MIT. It's a big can of worms. But he did not, you know, to the best of my knowledge, you know, take his own life because of this fight. But yeah, so there are organizations like if you're someone who's like, yeah, fuck it, I'll click this petition, I'll sign it. Then yeah, you can find an organization like Demand Progress.
Really make a difference? Those petitions that you sign online?
You know, they imbue these organizations that are working their ass off with a little bit of credibility. Because if you're going to a congressman or you're going to the FCC and you have, you know, 100,000 petitions, then you're at least bringing something to the table.
And that does mean something
to
them?
Yeah, it does. If you have enough of them en masse, it's a place to start. If it's not, you're not going to sign something and, you know, give us net neutrality tomorrow, but you will be helping the people who are... you know, working to make this, you know, make these things better.
You're saying the least you can do is sign one of these online petitions.
I think if you're listening and you're like, what's the least I can do? Then yeah, when a petition comes across your Facebook page and you see it on Twitter, you know, take the 30 seconds, fill it out, and, you know, give these organizations.
Can we sign 100,000 cars and flip them over?
It's just, you know.
And I think to be angry. I think just to be have some latent anger for when the, you know, fat butt party comes along and you're like, yeah, these I love these guys. I want to vote for their...
It was fun butt, by
fun
the
butt.
Way.
Sorry.
Not anti-fat butt. I'm just saying.
Eddie Gale, everybody. Thank you, Eddie. Thanks for coming.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Eddie.
Thank you, sir.
Pleasure.
Let's bring Spencer up right now. Spencer Crittenden!
Hey, Jeff, you snapped into action. I don't have that clock over your shoulder anymore.
9:25.
I just looked at my phone. But...
And we started late, too.
Yeah, we got a bit of a late start.
I got called up on stage.
Yeah, Spencer!
Remember when that happened?
Spencer... Is it true that you're about to be 25 years old?
At midnight.
Yeah, yeah.
This very midnight.
Spencer's birthday to you. Spencer's birthday to us. It's also Dustin Marshall's birthday actually today. Come out here, Dustin.
Dustin, get out of here, you little devil.
It's actually Dustin Marshall's birthday today.
Our podcast producer extraordinaire, Dustin.
Podcast producer and podcast dungeon master, they have consecutive birthdays.
It's weird, man.
Making for a veritable birth-de-palooza. A kind of burning birth.
Can I mention how Anatoly's look is really coming along, huh? Well, he's really committing to something.
Yeah,
right
I mean, okay.
Now. Holy shit. Let me, Roy Orbison.
Can I describe? I want to describe for people sitting beyond row two.
Can you
two
stand and just sort of show?
He's
like,
a.
He's really. It looks great.
Wait, what's it? So what's he? He's got an old school Walkman. Is that?
Yeah. Yeah. He's got an old school Walkman. Headphones.
So you're like Don Cheadle in Boogie Nights. You're in search of an identity every.
Yeah, he's got big 70s glasses on, long 70s hair. He looks like he might possibly either be Crosby, Stills, or Nash.
Yeah. What's crazy
but
is
not
he
young.
Hasn't even
not
young. Gotten to the mustache yet. Look at that mustache.
I mean, this might be cynical of me, but I feel like this whole Russian Winter Games has gone to your head, Anatoly.
Yeah.
You've gone mad with Russian pride right now. You feel like you can get away with anything.
I think like a little kid in the 70s had to draw a grown-up man.
I think you guys are connecting the Russian dot too much. He came out here to be a director. Remember, we've been with Anatoly since his birth as a character. He's like, I'm here to be a director. And we were like, do you watch TV? No. Do you other? Nothing. He just wants to be a director. He's sidling into, this is what directing is as far as I know.
He's directing himself first.
But that's what you got to do. You got to look like a director.
But he's a director from the 70s for certain, right?
Like he's got to work his way. way up to the present.
You know, no, in the 70s, they were dressed like Roman togas and stuff. They had to do whatever they could to stick out.
He's an Italian director from the 60s, maybe. Like, or at least George Landis.
John Landis.
Or George. I combined George Lucas and John Landis.
Oh, wow.
Into one super 80s director.
One day we're all going to be working for Anatoly, kind of.
Anatoly, what tape is in your Walkman?
It's Soap Opera by the Kinks.
The Kinks.
Oh, the Kinks.
Well done.
Yeah, see? He's going to get by. It's that Schraub thing. He's going to get by and just fucking weird shit. Meanwhile, I fucking slave over a keyboard. Fade in. Fade in on what, Anatoly? You don't know. Until I tell you. Because I'm a writer. You know what I dress like? Buck Henry. I dress like your dad, motherfucker. Because I'm proud of it. I'm an old bitch.
Like your dad. You just call all their dads old bitches.
Look, if they're writers, I don't know. Yeah. Whatever.
My dad's an old
fucking
bitch.
Fucking writers. Unappreciated. That, bringing it back to that Hitler thing. Although in the green room, I was just kidding. Like, it's just funny to me that I watched this movie that was kind of made by George Clooney and kind of gave me the misimpression that Hitler loved art. Everyone loves art. Like, hey, I know that's not the impression he wanted to give. So I was just making that joke. But I was I like to step on the gas and go like, yeah, Hitler loved art. He's an artist. I'm like, Hitler wasn't a writer. And then somebody goes, Mein Kampf, much? Yeah. Sprechen Sie Mein Kampf?
He's the writer.
Arguably a more famous and worse writer than...
Arguably more famous than you?
I didn't say than me. Then he was an artist.
Oh, sure. Yeah. No, his books certainly had more of an impact than his art did.
Yeah, well, the writing he did, we bring up more than the art he did.
Yeah.
You really thought I was gonna? All right, Hitler is arguably a more famous writer than me. I'm kind of begrudgingly giving him that. No, but he wasn't that good. You ever read Mein Kampf? You should. Dateline, Hollywood. All right.
How's it going, Spencer?
Why did I get brought up here?
How's it going? Have you had a fun week?
I was just sitting somewhere else earlier.
Did you just say, why did I get brought up here?
Yeah, that was kind of weird,
fucking
right?
Fucking Spencer's martyr complex. It drives me nuts.
I just do what you guys tell me to.
I brought him up, and then we didn't talk to him for 10
minutes. I know, that's what we always do.
Aggressively.
Okay, fine. So, like...
It's cool, just don't bring me up. I'll watch from the back.
We will not bring you up.
All right, problem solved.
Note taken. The guy, he hates to be brought up.
No, he wants to be brought up, but he wants to be addressed like a human being when he's up here. We brought him up and we ignored him for 10 minutes.
No, we talked to him.
Well, for a moment.
We sang happy birthday for you, motherfucker.
And then you brought out Dustin.
We changed the words.
Halfway through, you brought out Dustin, who got exquisite lighting, I think. And
it's his actual birthday.
And then you pivoted into this Anatoly.
I would say there's a
Anatoly dressed up like a porn star.
Yeah, he looks like my dad.
Yeah, holy shit. Look at him.
I'm not complaining about any of the things.
You are totally complaining. You said don't bring me up. Yeah. That's a complaint.
Yeah,
that's an absolute complaint. That's an actual complaint. Oh. Don't bring me up and then do that. That's a complaint.
You could talk about Anatoly at length and then bring me up
afterwards. I
did. Yeah. Not in that order.
That's amazing that I'm being told what I can't do.
What's the name of the show, Spencer?
Harmontown.
I think it's two things. It's that Spencer is laid back, and there's a geography thing where he literally is in the shadows, way off stage to the right. And he's sitting down lower. Like even if he were sitting up on stage, he probably wouldn't insert himself a lot. But he would be more included in the conversation because you're physically, Dan, not aimed at him. I think it's easy to not include somebody that's sitting physically way off of the stage.
I don't need to be included. I just don't want to be brought up and then explicitly excluded.
I don't want. I would
noted.
Never...
Noted. Noted. We will avoid that in the future.
There we go.
That is the first time on stage in Harmontown that there's been an adjustment to the structure of the Harmontown show. We will no longer bring you up and then exclude you.
Well, that's all.
That will not happen ever again by your decree.
Thank you.
No, but we do that a lot, though. We brought him up for like many times.
No. That's the first time we've gotten that adjustment.
Well, after dozens,
we do
of
a lot of things all the time.
That's true.
We just never get told what to do.
But isn't he allowed to say that? Like, if you're going to bring me up and maybe consider for alone for 12 minutes?
Yes, yes, he did. Do you have any complaints you'd like to make? Would you like the show to be different in any way?
Oh shit! Yeah, I'd like it to be funnier from the beginning. I'd like to get a standing ovation after every show. I'd like it to be 15 minutes shorter all the time.
Kumail, are you happy with the show the way it
I goes? Think the show's great and perfect and needs no adjustments.
Boo.
No. Well, no, I mean.
Well, you boo him now, but you won't when he's comptroller next week. And
yeah. Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah.
And I'm pretty sure Adam Goldberg mentioned that he's a dungeon master, didn't he?
Oh, no. Nobody's on board for that.
I don't know why I thought I'd be carried and greeted as liberator.
Yeah! Okay.
If we're going to start playing D&D, let's bring out Aaron McGathy.
Aaron McGathy.
Hi, Spencer.
Listen, part
Hi,
of the show
Hi,
is that
Camille.
It's
Hi,
part of the show is that it's messy, and you know that's part of the thing of it, right? Right, Aaron?
Yeah. Yes, Dan. So, speaking of messy, something happened in between you going on stage.
Oh, yeah. This is crazy. This is no good. This is no good.
Yeah, everybody
else
knows
I'm gonna try and
going
hype
on.
It up way too much, and then when you guys hear it, you're gonna be like, "You didn't hype it up enough." This is no good.
So for Dustin and Spencer's birthday, I baked the audience a cake.
That's the good
thanks,
news.
Let's play D&D. I baked the audience a cake, and right before cutting the cake, I went back to the green room and I washed my hands. And after washing
she
my
washed
hands,
her hands.
I know, big deal. I washed my hands and I looked at my finger and I remember thinking, "Ah, I love my engagement ring. Such a great engagement ring."
Oh no.
Oh. Yep.
So then I went back and I cut the cake with other Aaron, who's a great intern here. We were cutting the cake and talking, and then you went on stage so happy, and then I looked at my ring and the diamond is missing from my engagement ring.
I told you I couldn't hype it up enough.
So my diamond, I hope no one ate it.
And I was like, what does it look like? And then I was like, no, I guess if I see a diamond on the floor, that's probably your diamond.
But it'll look like a piece of chocolate cake, probably.
This is a good time to bring it up. That so-called diamond is actually constructed of a very digestible substance.
It's actually made of icing.
Called diamondafia.
Birthday boy Dustin Marshall said, someone's going to die.
No one's going to die.
Or get rich.
Yeah.
No, that's not really. Is that really dangerous if you swallow a little tiny diamond? No.
You just shit it out. Yeah. Happy birthday.
My older half-sister heard one of her daughters, my niece, when she was a little baby, ate her diamond ring, her wedding ring. And for 2 or 3 days, I had to watch, or I didn't have to watch, but we had to hear reports about my sister diapers back on, like, the 3-year-old or 2-year-old that was off diapers.
Oh, to, like, sift
and
through
and then took a big fork and had to fork through her poop. And
So if everyone could do that.
Happy ending. Happy ending. She found it and is still wearing it to this day.
Are they still using that fork?
Huh?
You get rid of that fork,
no,
right?
No. The fork actually was destroyed, but
it was framed and put up in their house.
It's kind of awesome. That ring passed through her daughter's body. It's like, it's fucking great.
Yeah, well, but now it's this diamond passed through one of these guys' body. That's not
I mean,
right.
I hope it's Anatoly.
He does look like he ate a diamond.
Yeah, and he does look like he would sift through his own shit. That's all I mean. Dress that way for a
that
reason. You didn't not want attention.
All right,
but real talk. The diamond is
in one of you.
Real talk.
The diamond is is here.
It's somewhere. The diamond is here. Lock the doors.
If you if you find it, I mean, if you really need it.
If you find it, keep it. Fuck
well,
that.
No, no, but yeah.
Keep it and sell it. The top dollar.
I have sentimental attachments to it, I guess.
No, you don't. You lost it at a piece of cake. And before that, that's the good news. We love each other. It's fine.
I know. My full statement was, if you need it, keep it. If you're a millionaire and you don't need it, I'll make you something in exchange for it.
I swear none of them are millionaires.
Also, I'm looking at it totally.
Also, if you feel guilty about it, it actually is a blood diamond. It's a conflict diamond from
Chocolate diamond.
Adam, you were so good until now.
I lost my wedding ring and I had to buy a new one. It was fine.
The whole ring or just the...
No, I didn't have a jewel on it.
I'm new at this. I don't have mine yet.
Our love didn't suffer, yeah.
Aaron, all you have to do is ask. I'll shit you a diamond.
I know.
What do you want?
That's the new...
Do you want marquee?
Open
for pear-shaped? What do you like?
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, Aaron. So you were going to say the same thing I was, which is, yeah, if you are at a point in your life where you are willing to go through your own poop because you think you may be the recipient of a diamond.
Well, I don't think anybody was actually like, people chew cake. They don't swallow it whole. Right. I think.
But it's not.
The bigger concern is somebody like absolutely shatters a tooth trying to chew a diamond. Right?
Then that's you definitely get to keep the diamond.
I would say there's probably a half eaten piece of cake somewhere with a diamond sitting on top of it.
Yeah. I bet it's on the floor somewhere.
Yeah. This is only reasonable, but obviously we should not get married unless the same diamond is found. If it is not found,
also,
there will be a murder.
On a kind of semi-related note, I lost a Gutenberg Bible backstage. If anybody sees a Gutenberg Bible, I had it inside of a lemon muffin.
It's really fine.
The people at Otterbox, if they make wedding rings, like I'd like to get Aaron because that's
at Otterbox
your phone case. From.
Oh yeah, Otterbox,
Aaron can throw her phone across the room.
Spencer, what do you think of all this?
I think it's great.
Spencer, you think it's great?
Yeah.
Spencer. Did she lost her? Help me look for it earlier.
Yeah, I say we are speaking to sifting through shit. Let's play some D&D. When I find the music, keep your applause going until I shouldn't have brought it up. I shouldn't have said it until I hit this.
Okay, cool.
Sorry, Spencer.
What?
I didn't cue you up well. I'm sorry.
You're doing a great job, Jeff.
Thank you, Spencer.
A thing.
All right. Yeah, no notes.
When we last met, our heroes were chained by the soul on trial by skeletons in the city of Tormod Tor. After upsetting and confusing the Bone Sages, Second Tor appointed the party a special defendant, a novice lawyer by the name of Skeleton Gary. After a brief recess to catch up, Gary got down to business, cross-examining, citing precedents, and building a credible case. After a stirring and brilliant oratory, Skeleton Gary managed to acquit our heroes by promising that if freed, they'd bring back the head of the Marsh Minotaur, scourge of the Flea Market Hills. But would our heroes be able to fulfill their skeleton errand, or would they be cast into the pits of Skaldor? Let's watch.
All right, so we just... Are we freed from our soul chains, correct?
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
That weird bug came and died.
Sure did.
All right. So, is our lawyer gone? I guess he is, right?
Yeah, he ran out. All right. You guys still owe him money.
All right. He's gone, so fuck him. I turn to our group and say, look, we made some promises during that court hearing that we would go fight this Marsh Minotaur. It kind of sounded like improv to me, but like we did kind of like bind ourselves to that promise.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a bunch of malarkey. I say we just get the hell out of here and cut our losses.
Yeah, let's just get out of here and be like, yeah, we'll do what you guys wanted us to do, and then we'll just sort of talk when we're outside.
I mean, let's say whatever. Let's sign whatever we have to sign and get the fuck out of here.
There's nothing to sign, really.
All right. Well, thank you, Tor, Mod, and Tor. We appreciate your bureaucracy and everything, and I guess we'll be on our way.
I mean, you'll bring back the head of the Marsh Minotaur.
Yeah, yeah, totes. Yes,
totally. Yes. Totally, totally. Do you point us in a direction, and we'll do whatever you like.
Yeah, it's at the Flea Market Hills.
Just be advised that as part of this whole thing, you know, you're obligated to do this.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We are.
Under
the
penalty of soul loss.
Okay. We got it.
I mean...
What do you mean exactly? We're not attached to the soul chains anymore. Like, how does the soul loss thing
work? How could you
track is a soul cop going to come and get us?
I mean, no, it's just... It's in the magic of Telemvarna. It's already completed.
Wait, what do you mean?
Well, you saw the Beast of Burden.
Yes.
It made no sense to us.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's kind of the benchmark of our law, but... That's fine. It doesn't matter to you.
Oh, so what you're saying is if we default on getting the...
When it shrieks, the binding arbitrations of Telemvarna are inscribed onto your very soul. And if they're not enacted properly, that'll, you know, kind of consume it.
And if we don't bring back the Marsh Minotaur's head, then we just go kaput? Like,
what happens if we lose our souls?
I mean... You stop existing, pretty much. I mean, your body still does.
Is there a time limit? How does it know the difference between us taking a really long time to do it and us not doing it?
What if we just don't get to it?
Is there a shot clock?
You can certainly try that. It's your soul.
We can certainly try what?
To not, you know, to skirt Telemvarna.
If it takes us 100 years, is that cool? Or if it takes us 5 years? Like, how long is the shot
clock? It's not up to me, man. The magic's already there.
What can we consult the magic and find out what the time limit is?
Sure, ask the magic.
I cast magic eye roll and I ask the magic.
You glean nothing.
I mean, okay. Have you guys ever done this before? What's the normal statute of limitations on getting shit done before your soul disappears?
If you're not actively pursuing the quest. You're going to start feeling it.
I feel like we should have had this talk without him listening to
it's
us.
It's going
to
be, it'll be like Back to the Future. I don't know what that is.
We'll start disappearing?
Yeah, like we'll look at our hand and it'll
all right, we'll go do it.
All right. You know what?
It'll be at Zemeckis' discretion.
Are there any weaknesses to this Marsh Minotaur that we should know of?
I'm sure he's not full of great strengths. You're probably fine.
Oh, so...
All right, so lead us... tell us which direction we start walking to the flea market hills.
Oh, I'll do you one better. Linev, you show him.
Oh, fuck
Linev. Oh, we gotta go with this guy?
God damn it.
Okay, I pull Sharpie aside and say, Sharpie?
No.
What?
We're gonna have to do this with Linev. There's two ways to do this. The easy way or your way? Are we gonna get along or are we gonna fight the whole way through?
I would like to go on a vision quest. By myself.
All right.
Can we get anyone but Linev? Why does it have to be Linev?
He's the marshal around these parts.
I've been to the flea market.
Hills?
Yeah. In fact, I know the Minotaur.
Yes. We don't need Linev. We've got this one over here.
All right. Well, everybody leave. We're going to do private stuff in here.
Sharpie, are you still going on a vision quest?
Yeah, he's doing the private stuff.
Is Linev coming with us?
I guess not. Is Linev, are you coming with us or no?
Fuck you.
I'll show you guys the way. I used to go out with the Minotaur.
All right, sounds good. I'll come with you guys.
I kind of wanted to hear about your vision quest after you were done.
Well, I mean, the good news is you're now on it. Because she doesn't know where the fuck the Minotaur is.
Thank you. We had a romance.
Mulrain, lead the way.
This way. I go in the right direction.
You search for the right direction and you see some hills. They're probably the only hills in the area.
Oh, that's...
When I used to travel on these hills before, we used to call them the Little Eggs. Come on, gentlemen, this way.
Little Eggs?
Yeah.
They look like big eggs, if anything.
It made no sense when we said it then and no sense now, but we called them the Little Eggs.
So, tell us about that. You said you met the Marsh Minotaur. Tell us all about him. Tell us all about him.
What's his favorite color?
Flashback.
Oh, you're early.
A Minotaur is never early. Nor is he late. He arrives precisely when he means to.
Marsh.
His name is Marsh?
She thinks my name is Marsh.
Marsh Minotaur?
Yeah, she thinks my last name is Minotaur. That's like having someone named Edward Human.
Marsh, I made you this little bucket.
What is the bucket for?
I put good wishes in it for a date. I routinely the Sedona family, we give everyone buckets, and this is I mean, now I feel embarrassed, but here's this bucket. Where are we going on the date?
Thanks for this bucket. Can I leave it here and pick it up later?
Yes, of course. Yes.
We're going to the flea market hills.
Oh, excellent! I've never been there before.
Real quick, pause. We flash back to the present while we watch you kind of look up in the air while you're clearly going into a flashback. And I look at everyone and go, "This is going to be an awesome flashback. I can't wait to hear what happens on this one." And then back into the flashback.
Yeah, I guess we could go there.
Yeah. Hey, I don't want to be weird, but I heard that you had a bad experience in the flea market hills last time you visited them. You were part of a story that I read in the...
Do you, I tell the story? I.e. do the heavy lifting in this improv?
I heard that someone was selling something that you found very offensive, and you charged several halflings, and you ended up you contributed to the deaths of many halfling children.
I was misunderstood. They had a Confederate flag with swastikas on it, and I was like, "That's wrong." And they were like, "Different symbols mean different things to different people," and I just sort of went nuts, and some lives were lost, but I don't think they were lives worth saving anyway. They were like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I'm on the state, so I'm on your side. I just wanted to clear that up.
Yep, so that's it. But I think it's blown over. I don't think people think of me as like a bad guy anymore. There's no like council trying to like kill me or anything. I feel like I've explained myself.
Oh, the buttons on your pants are coming apart. So here's that.
Yep, they are. Aren't you curious how far down the hoarseness goes? Oh, that's a centaur.
Hoarseness.
Bullness.
Bull.
Yep, that's a centaur.
Dan, I'm referencing our first date. JK, whoa.
What happened?
He left.
It's just a guy that has to take a shit. That's not... It happens every day.
I didn't mean that as sexually as it came across. But, so great. Let's just stay here then. Meaning that we won't actually go to the flea market, but we've had a connection.
Yeah.
Flashback of it.
So, Mulray,
so you know the Minotaur.
Yeah. So tell me all about him.
Well, I just relived that flashback out loud.
Well, what happened with the Minotaur? Did you guys stay home?
Yeah, he...
You know what I mean?
We started... I mean, things got...
How far down did his hoarseness go?
Bullness.
It went down as far as you think. I mean, things... You know, people have chemistry with certain people. Things started to get hot and heavy, and it was clear that things weren't meant to be for us. That's all. And then I put on Mork and Mindy and we watched that. And then let's go to the
back to the flashback. This never happens to me.
It's fine.
I think I ate something bad for breakfast.
No. It's just Mark and Mandy still in the background.
Oh,
it's loud. It's loud and assertive.
No.
Like, oh. No. I said the episode where he took over Europe and hoarded all the art.
Yes.
No! Burn the Picassos! Shazbat!
Oh. I'm. You know what? I'm gonna go.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'll call you though. I swear.
Yes. Can I?
And you know what? I'll pick up the bucket when I come back.
Well, can I give you this wreath? I want to. I'm gonna tie it around your neck.
I have an idea. How about I pick up the wreath when I come back for the bucket?
Please just take this wreath with
you. All right, I'll take
the
wreath.
I mean, it's very small. No. I didn't even notice it.
I'll take the wreath.
No.
All right, I'll call you.
It's the worst episode of Work of Mindy ever in the background. All right. Well, so suffice to say, you have a long-standing relationship with this.
Yes, I mean, I never saw him again. He's a nice guy. He's misunderstood. I would like to face him.
He doesn't sound very tough. Like, he doesn't sound like a real threat. Like, he sounds like he's kind of a regular. Like, it sounds just kind of.
He sounds like you never know where he's coming from to hear you say it.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. But also,
like, if he was on Lulu, what's that app? His hashtag would be like
Lulu,
all over the
two
place.
Horns, no ambition. I don't know. What are
two
you?
Two horns, not three.
all right. Well, so where is he?
He's up through the hills. Yeah, let's go this way.
Let's go there. We start going there.
Okay.
You sure we shouldn't stop through Digression Valley for a while?
Oh, yeah. It's right off Exposition Lane.
All right, we head toward Small Egg Hills.
Little Eggs.
Yeah, you go to that place. You see hills. You also see a lot of stalls and booths, like some sort of farmer's market or maybe a flea market has been set up. It looks largely abandoned, though. That's what you see.
Do you want to call out for him?
Hey, Marsh. Not to be weird, but I guess I happen to be here. It's not for you. I'm here with my boyfriend. So.
I whittle.
You see shifting wood. There's like some sort of wreckage of wood, and you see a small skeletal figure crawl out of this woodwork holding a little sign. The sign says, "Don't be cheesy."
Is that Jont?
Jont. Like don't with a J.
Like Django?
Yeah. Yeah, like that. But Jont.
Hey, little one.
Buy my cheeses.
No.
Okay.
And I like cheese. I just don't like your sign.
Mm. I keep whittling.
Have you seen a minotaur walking around who's kind of, you know, emotionally unavailable, but clearly handsome and people are very taken by him, but maybe he doesn't have the high enough self-esteem to accept love yet.
I sure did. He came in and stomped all my cheeses. I should have clarified earlier. It's stomped cheese.
He slopped all your cheeses?
He stomped them all.
Stomped your cheeses.
Stomped all the cheeses.
Just like him.
I think you're still kind of sweet on this guy.
I mean, who knows? You know, sometimes people come together at different times in their lives. But,
oh,
you know,
wow.
I'm
yeah, all... I agree. Sometimes just the time isn't right, you know, even if the people are right for each other.
Wait, how are you tied up in this?
I understand what she's saying. That's happened to me.
Do you too have a previous lover?
I have pulled Chris.
Flashback!
Flashback!
Hey.
Hey.
You want more of that?
Every day.
Nanu, nanu! Nanu, nanu!
Sorry, let me turn down the TV.
You know what? Just turn it off.
All right. With pleasure. So it's 2 for $6, 6 for $2, and 12 for $20. And I like your style.
We flash back. You guys sounded like you were really in love.
Yeah, I got the 12 for 20.
Flashback.
I gotta warn you with the 12 for 20.
Why?
The government requires me to tell you, you'll never be the same.
No. Flash forward to the present.
That was the last mistake I ever made.
It's kind of sounds like you met Dolph Lundgren?
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you, that 12 for 20 was totally worth it. But I never have been able to write a song since then.
Oh, did you write Woman in Red, Lady in Red, before that meeting?
I wrote Woman in Red. He wrote Lady
in Red. I wrote Lady in Red right before that meeting, and I was like, oh, I'm a songster.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, nothing will take this away from me.
So that guy, he literally fucked you out of a career.
But you know what? I wouldn't have it any other way.
I go examine the footprints and the cheese that's been stomped.
It's all stomped.
Do they lead in a direction?
They do. They lead over the hill, believe it or not.
This way, gentlemen. Let's go over the big yoke.
Yeah. I guess you guys are doing that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. We're going to get the marshy.
Yeah. You go over the hill and you see at the bottom of the hill, just lying right there in sight, a dank, smelly cave. You could smell it from here.
Let's go in there.
Yeah, I don't
want
to
wall it up with rocks.
Well.
So that no one can ever get in or out.
But maybe we should see what's happening. I take two of my arrows and I put my hair up in a bun and I do that like thing that middle schoolers do when they put two pencils in their hair, but with my arrows.
Oh yeah, like with knitting needles.
Yeah,
people do them.
I'm just gonna go in really quick and just see what's going on.
Come on, no one. You're going in with us because first of all, this Minotaur is ferocious. Second of all, you can't control yourself around him. You have a history with him, and you don't know what you're doing.
Right.
You have a codependent relationship.
Well, I appreciate you guys coming in with me. If I make any jokes, please laugh loudly. And also, if it comes up organically, please call me pretty and smart. Let's do it!
Hey, yeah. Before we go in there, yeah. Resolve this. You should be the one staying outside this cave. You can't control yourself. This is not a healthy relationship.
A lot has happened to me since the last time that I saw him, and I've evolved a lot, and I've changed a lot, and I realize that I'm exposing myself for being an insecure archer. But I just want him to see how great I am now, and I want him to see the company I keep.
Because
I'm proud of the company I keep.
I use sense motive if I can.
Uh-oh.
I want to know... Like,
can I answer this one? Or is
it... No, you have to do it truthfully.
Okay.
Yeah, so what's going what's on? Motive? What's really going on?
Is it a different voice? Or is? All right.
Yes.
I love you. I don't... love him, but I want him to think I'm hot.
So relatable. I get it.
We've all been through relationships where we feel like they took our wallet. We want our wallet back.
In a way, it seems like she wants to show you off to him and say, look how great my life is.
Okay, I get it. I'm going to be that guy for you. Let's do this. Yeah. By the way, I guess I'm your boyfriend? I didn't even know that.
Oh, you guys need a little bit of room? Should we?
No, not at all. I'm asexual, but I'm a wizard. All right.
I take my sword out, and I look at you guys. We all stand like four abreast, and like we all stand at the entrance to this cave. And like I'm ready to go in there with you guys.
All right, let's go in. I'm super excited.
What kind of pose do you take?
Are you saying that we all hold our weapons up and the sun like is behind the weapons and that a kind of
like we're silhouetted?
Lens flare comes out and it says to be continued in the lens flare.
But there is a voiceover that like kind of like Dukes of Hazzard that says ooh like what's about to happen? Like kind of a teaser. That
I think
says,
we could do more. We started the show late.
Hey, if it were up to me, we would be here till 3 a.m.
Okay, we put our weapons together and I just charge into the cave.
Charge! Yelling, I kick anything in my way. Kick, kick!
Nanu!
Going!
Nanu!
Kick, Kick.
I run as fast as I can to get ahead of them so he doesn't meet Quark first.
Shazbot! Kick.
Also, I have a partial boner and my pants are halfway down.
I swear to God, if you rape my ex-boyfriend...
I'm trying my hardest. These flashbacks really turn me on. I'm not saying...
Don't blame you.
All right.
So you're stomping into this cave.
Could have ended the show.
There's bones and skulls all over the place adorning the floor, and as you charge in all loudly and yelling and kicking and doing those things, you hear a weird wailing. It calls out. It's like, stay back.
Guys, I think Peter Sellers is in prison here.
I'll check it out.
Yeah, yell out to him.
Marsh.
I will destroy you.
Oh, I haven't been called that in a long time.
No, guys, this was a joke we used to have where he would say, I'll destroy you. He doesn't mean it. I smooth my hair back with my hand and I approach. Hey, bananas, right? It's a joke. It was a joke we had a thing.
You guys had a joke called bananas, right?
There was this time where we were walking down the street and there was a banana tree and a bunch of bananas fell all at once.
You know what? Okay. Sounds cool.
What are the walls made of, Spencer?
Like cave stuff.
Okay, I start climbing the walls and try to get like into like up along the side of the walls. It's like while she's distracting him, I try to get like into a flanking maneuver.
That's your solution to everything.
Kill it, then fuck it.
Yeah. Starts climbing the walls.
If it ain't broke.
Yeah.
The walls are slick with some sort of weird moisture.
That's my fault.
But
it's all the description of skulls.
You still managed to climb up into the cave. You're holding on to a stalactite.
And I'm just crawling along slowly.
Very slowly.
Yeah.
I look back like I feel like
keep him on the phone call.
I bound down, like kicking high. All kicking right. Massive amounts of dirt, smashing everything I can, waving my hands in the air, and yelling, "Great googly boogly! I'm in your cave!"
You do that.
I don't know if you're making the kind of boyfriend impression that she wanted you to make.
Well, I'm angry because, like, marry
because
him.
Because why? Oh, come on.
Give me a break. How would you react?
You said 5 moments ago that you don't remember that we were dating. All right, I run towards the boys.
I kick every stalagmite and stalactite.
Except the one that he's on?
Well, whatever one he's on, fine.
I throw rocks behind me as to try to home alone Sharpie's path.
You home alone it.
Great.
What am I doing?
I don't know. What are you doing?
I'm like super weirded out by everything. I yell, "I am not on board."
Okay. So,
how close am I to the to wherever this voice is coming from?
Not very. I mean, you're crawling on a ceiling. He's all running.
I feel like we should just go talk to him. We don't need to go on ceilings and kick stuff, right? We just go talk to him.
What I'm trying to do.
Because what we want to do, we have to kill this guy. Let's face it.
Right.
We have to chop his head off.
So you may as well bring him to us. I don't want to come looking for him. Where are you?
Stay back.
I'm running. Do I see him yet? I'm running.
You keep running and you see a light around the bend, like there's lit stuff around the bend.
I keep on running towards that light.
You see the Marsh Minotaur. It's seated. It's sitting, kind of sprawled out. You see its udder just kind of laying all over the floor.
It has an udder.
Oh, the reality of my past lover.
He's a cow?
And it's looking at a weird...
Yeah, udders.
Like
girls have udders. Boys, yeah. boy Minotaurs. Hey,
whoa, metagaming. That's crazy. Metagaming. This thing's got an udder.
Okay.
Yeah. You don't even see it, man.
Also, maybe he identifies as a male, but he's not biologically. I run towards him. Marsh!
What? You're not skeletons.
No, it's...
I thought you guys were skeletons.
Hey,
deep down, we're
you're
all...
not there.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I was...
It's me. Are you okay?
What?
Do you remember me, Maureen Sedana?
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about memories.
Then no.
Do you remember me? We met in that elevator. I dropped all my papers and you picked them up.
What's an elevator?
Dude, Large. Did you hook up with a different Minotaur? That's racist.
I examine his face and I see that he is clearly a different.
But you led us here.
Hey, do you know another Minotaur who really likes Mork and Mindy?
What's Mork and Mindy?
Okay. You seem suicidal.
I mean, I wouldn't go that far. What are you doing in my cave?
I draw my long sword, and I say, ending this. And then I take it down on the... We wanted his head, right?
I'm on a ceiling back in the hall.
Yeah. I've been reminded
that I'm not there.
Yeah, none of us are there. It was just you.
I had all kinds of awesome, funny stuff to say. I'm not there.
I look around his neck and I say that there's no wreath. And clearly the Minotaur I dated would always wear this wreath, even if he felt nothing for me, because that's how Maureen Sedana deals with the world. I take the sword and I put it down on the Minotaur's neck. With great force.
You bring down the sword upon its neck, and it just hits its neck, and it just breaks your blade. Right as Sharpie and Krista Berg arrive.
Hey! What's up? Hey!
Did you do any? You didn't do anything stupid, did you?
How can I support your relationship? As a good person. I have a box of wine.
Hey, guys, that sword I bought at the magic shop really works. It breaks when you want it to.
Why would you attack your ex-boyfriend?
Have I crawled on the ceiling enough to be in the same room, or am I still out in the hallway?
I mean, if you were walking, you would have.
I mean, I'm committing.
It's crawling. It's like it's crawling.
I don't care if it takes me 10 episodes. I made my bed. I'm gonna lie in it. I'm gonna fucking. How far outside of this room am I?
Like a couple rounds.
Okay,
you're getting there. The Marsh Minotaur rises to its feet and is like, "Why are all these humans down here? And why are you attacking me? Aren't there skeletons you could go bother?"
You are right.
Excuse me, Marsh. Is it Marsh?
No, it's Kaideff.
Kaideff?
Yep.
Definitely a different guy.
Guy?
Minotaur, sorry.
I'm Sharpie Butts a lot. My friends and I have gotten mixed up in a lot of bullshit with a lot of parasites and a lot of bureaucrats over this campaign, whatever you'd call that in our world.
I've been there.
Yeah. We were on trial with the skeletons. You know them?
Yes.
Our lawyer got us off by promising that we'd kill you. I don't want to do it. I see no profit in it. Frankly, I don't see how we'd do it. You're a big, strapping, very straight guy.
What?
You're so straight.
Do you know how udders work?
Oh, I'm sorry. A very strapping entity. Nothing. I didn't mean to imply gender at all.
All right.
Okay.
Shit. This is definitely not your Minotaur.
We briefly cut back to meet the ceiling.
God damn, son of a bitch,
the truth of the matter is that we got time bombs implanted on our souls by these skeletons. If we don't fulfill our goal, our souls blow up or something. I got no beef with you. I got more beef with people that would do that kind of thing to people.
Yeah, skeletons are dicks.
There's
a skeleton guy comes in and milks me.
Are you fucking kidding me? What?
Yeah, his name's Jont.
Listen, don't be cheesy.
If you're more native to this bureaucracy than we are. If we could figure out a way to, like, you know, turn this whole thing on its head.
I just fell down here one day through a marsh.
That's metaphorically what happened to us.
Whoa. Sounds like we have a common enemy.
We meet a nice person. I like this guy.
I like this person.
I also like this person. I give Kaif.
Yep.
Will you accept this bucket?
I guess I will. As a symbol of me casting off my oppression.
It's like a rapper wearing yeah.
What? Oh, chains?
Yeah, well...
Whoa!
No, I mean, it's profound. Yeah, it's profound. I didn't come up with it.
Am I in the room yet?
It's an interesting
video. No, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I emerge in on the ceiling of the room and I look
talk
down.
Talk to me after the show if you want to talk about that.
Yeah. These rappers wear chains because they're reminiscent of the chains of slavery?
Not consciously.
Oh, it's part of their unconscious ancestral memory that they have inherited from their brethren.
I look down and go, hey guys, is that the Marsh Minotaur?
Yep.
Oh, Jesus. I'm
on the ceiling.
Oh, hey.
It's Spider Pal.
Yeah, you made it.
I'm startled and I take my knife and I throw it at his thigh. Who is that?
I declared it was me.
You hit, yeah. You take 6 damage.
Shit.
I store that memory and bury it deep, deep inside.
Is he still up there?
I start shimmying down the side to get down there. And I go, look, is everything cool? I thought I was doing the right thing by getting up here and like being like sneaky, but apparently we didn't have to be sneaky about this.
Karev, was that your name?
Kaidev.
Kaidev?
Kaidev?
Kaidev.
Like high def, but with a K? Karev.
What's high def?
Okay, Kaidev it is.
Kaidev?
Kaidev.
Listen, let's form a human minotaur pact.
Okay.
But I'm telling you, we're kind of bound. Like we got like a co-signed auto loan here on our souls. Like, I've been honest about that with you.
Yeah, that sucks, man. I'll try and help you out, I guess. I don't know how that works.
Let's go attack the... Because I feel like skeletons have been dicks to us from the very beginning.
I agree.
You've been awesome to us.
So great.
Thanks.
Thanks for thinking my knife on your neck joke was funny.
Whoa. Yeah, what was that?
Okay, be very careful.
That's how humans say they love you.
Yeah, it's like blood brothers, but more intense and one-sided.
See, she liked Quark so much she threw a knife at him.
Yeah, we do that sometimes.
I take her knife and I just kind of put it in the back of my pants and just like kind of like stare at like kind of creepily like I'm fucking...
I have a bad pitch. Bad pitch. Room number. We keep writing back to the skeletons and saying, we're still looking for him. I think we're right behind him.
Great.
And we just keep that going forever.
I think that's a great idea.
But we adopt that's him a as idea. A member of our party.
Right. Yeah.
And so we're always kind of like one step behind him because he's in front of us. And then hopefully that'll thwart whatever soul magic is enforcing this dumb...
magic pact?
...thing on us.
Okay.
Just to try it.
Yeah.
If we start to get nauseous or our hair falls out,
we kill the minotaur. Because he's not a real minotaur. He has udders.
Don't look behind you. Spencer's rolling dice while you're talking.
But overall, we're a happy family. It's not losing our lives. It's gaining a party member.
Weren't you saying that not to him? Weren't you saying that, like,
yeah, saying it to
listening?
Us. Yeah.
Yeah, but you're looking at me like the Minotaur heard that.
Now I'm turning to look
at you.
He's
looking at you like Spencer.
I'm going,
hey,
and so, Karev.
Kaidev.
Kaidev.
Karev.
Most deaf, we would like to welcome you into our happy family.
Awesome, man.
Cliffhanger? Question mark? Thank everybody for coming to Harmontown. I mean, we ended on kind of a peaceful resolution there.
find that diamond, you may keep it or tell me that you have it. There's a diamond here.
Sangetti Geller, Camille Nagiani, Aaron McCarthy. I'm Jeff Davis, Spencer Crittenden, and your mayor, Dan Herman. Happy birthday, Dustin Marshall. Happy about-to-be birthday, Spencer.